Those who are joining us online, I bring greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We wish you well, and the Lord be with you always. Let us pray as we prepare our hearts to receive the teaching of the Word today. By the divine grace of our risen Lord, may today, the Easter Sunday, inspire us to a new understanding of hope and happiness, all received through the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is faith? What is true believing? The writer of Hebrews gives us a good answer here. He says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. In other words, faith is about believing something that is true, even though it has yet to come to pass or cannot be fully grasped at this point in time. Precisely because it is something cannot be fully visible or attainable now, it takes faith to believe and to accept. For example, it takes faith to believe the next MRT train is on its way, and it also takes faith to believe it will be able to bring you to your destination as scheduled. These may sound simple and easy, but at times it can be challenging. At times, it requires a leap of faith to believe, especially given the fact that in recent time, the MRT service had again come under spotlight. To place or not to place our faith in the MRT system may not be too difficult a question when comparing with other more challenging issues such as those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. For example, verse 3 talks about the universe was created by the word of God. Verse 4, Enoch was directly taken up to heaven and he did not see death. Or verse 7, about the big flood that destroyed the world except Noah and his family. All these are extraordinary events that could not be proven by any scientific means, at least from today's standard and perspective. Therefore, for us to believe, it takes great faith. And that is why Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." Why? Why? Because if we cannot believe all these, we cannot be able to properly believe God, and that will not please God. Besides Hebrews chapter 11, are there other issues in the Bible that are not easy to understand, and thus it takes great faith for us to believe and accept? If you ask Paul the question, most likely his answer will be the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not because it can or cannot be proven scientifically, but because of its quintessential nature in our Christian faith. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says, "For I deliver you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." The resurrection of Christ is the core of our Christian faith, and it has direct impact on our lives and our destiny. Although the risen Christ was seen by hundreds of people, as 1 Corinthians 15 says. Some, however, were unable to believe it. If this believing is the key problem here, it may not be too difficult for us to solve, because the life transformation of Paul is so powerful a testimony that it will cast away any doubts or questions about the reality of the resurrection of Christ. Many of us are familiar with Paul's story on the road of Damascus. Without the risen Lord, Saul could not become Paul, and later to become the martyr for Christ. Thus, what worries Paul is not so much about the disbelief, but the way it is believed, and that is a lot more difficult to deal with. And here, to Paul, is the root problem of the Corinthian Christians. To be fair, the Corinthian Christian did believe the resurrection of Christ. However, it stays in their heads and not in their hearts. And that is not true believing, because it fails to permeate throughout their life. It fails to impact their daily living. And the lack of true believing is clearly reflected and glaringly reflected in their sinful behaviors and in their church problems. Thus, seeing the needs to bring them back to the core of faith, Paul reiterates the importance of the resurrection of Christ and say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 2, "Now I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you receive, unless you believed in vain." To Paul, the return to the resurrection of Christ is the only way for us to rebuild our faith, for without which we will lose our spiritual anchorage. Thus, the resurrection of Christ deserves to be guarded dearly, not just because it is real and not fictitious, but also for the sake of our faith, for building our faith. Besides Paul, the resurrection of Christ is also very crucial to Peter. Peter in Acts chapter 2 says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." And he continues, "That God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Peter's boldness and confidence here, however, could not hide the fact that just not too long ago, he had denied Jesus 3 times. Peter's personal journey of change from weakness to boldness is certainly extraordinary and not easy, we must say. And it could not be possible without encountering the risen Lord. In other words, without the resurrection of Christ, the transformative change of Peter will not happen. Clearly and certainly, the resurrection of Christ has brought something to Peter and helped him to pick himself up once again, enable him to believe there is forgiveness in the risen Lord. And nothing could separate him from the love of God in Christ. Alluding to King David, Peter says, "Therefore my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption." Acts chapter 2. Sharing similar experience of change and transformation, Paul says something akin to Peter in Romans chapter 8. Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Nothing at all, Paul says, in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The resurrection of Christ is real, for without which transformation of life is impossible. Such is a testimony of genuine faith, true believing, something the Corinthian Christians are lacking. Confronted by the narrative of Peter, Paul, and Corinthian Christians, we need to pause for a while and ask ourselves, especially on Easter Sunday, the hard question: are we more like Peter, Paul, or Corinthian Christians? To put it differently, is my life a life of transformation that bears the testimony of Christ's resurrection? To know the answer, we need to probe further and ask, will I be easily give up hope in God amid difficult moments and resolve to human wisdom and engineering? We are not saying here that we cannot vent our frustration or complain to God why His help is so slow to come. The Bible, especially the Psalms, is full of that. But to give up hope and resolve to human manipulation is not the same as throwing tantrums like a child before God, but still hanging on closely and tightly to God. The difference between the two, we may say, is about the authenticity of faith. The authenticity of faith. One provides lip service, the other not. To be authentic here is certainly not easy, because the longest and hardest journey is from the head to the heart. If we find our Christian faith very tough, that is because what is expected of us is nothing short of with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your might. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Thus, faith, more so Christian faith, is not something for the faint-hearted, as it demands everything, not just about the head knowledge, but everything from us. And that is why James says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And I say again, so also faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So also our belief in the resurrection of Christ, if there's no change or transformation, is dead. And the change, the transformation, the work are possible to us as much as they are possible to Peter or Paul. What is needed of us is our willingness to be led by the risen Christ, to go back to the places of hurt, disappointment, struggle, and suffering, and wait upon the Lord there and be prepared and healed by God through the work of the Holy Spirit. No matter who is right or who is wrong, no matter who shall say sorry or who shall render forgiveness. We ought to surrender all to the risen Lord and free ourselves from that which has such a deadly grip on us for so long. And when we do that, only if we do that, we will soon experience change and transformation, little by little. And our reading of the Nicene Creed on Sunday about Christ's resurrection will no longer be just routine repetition. Such is what Peter and Paul has gone through. To embrace death is to resurrect from the painful past and know that in Christ Jesus there is new beginning. Abraham, the father of faith, also knows that well. About Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac, it is certainly right for us to say that is an act of faith and obedience. No question about that here. However, we may also say that the sacrifice of Isaac speaks loudly as well the firm belief of Abraham that in the living God there is no death. Should Isaac die because of the sacrifice, Abraham is confident that it will not be the end of Isaac, but on the contrary, a new. Abraham is called the father of faith, not only because of his obedience, but also because of his belief in the new life beyond death in God. We may say that the sacrifice of Isaac foreshadows the future event of the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection. On the sacrifice of Christ, we are familiar with the cup of suffering Jesus has to face on the night that he was betrayed. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Matthew 26:39. Like us, Jesus has his cross to bear and his journey to take. Like us, Jesus struggles as much in obeying God, believing God, and laying down his life for the will of God. Something we should not take for granted or make light of. We use the word journey here. Indeed, it is a journey of faith, a journey of change and transformation. From old to new, deprivation to richness, death to life. It is also a journey of promise God has for us in Jesus Christ. For in the risen Christ, our destiny and the destiny of our children and our children's children are all in the hand of God. For Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. So may the Lord help us, especially on Easter Sunday, to truly believe and be transformed by it as we tread the journey of faith together, individually and collectively as a church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.